Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7, ending in verse 19, where we see that if you find yourself in a position of beginning to waver today, maybe in your commitment to God, or maybe growing cold in your interest of God and not even realizing it, then today's message is for you. In today's message, in Hebrews chapter 3, Pastor Dave teaches a message entitled, Dead Ear, Hard Hearts, and a Wandering Life. We hope you're blessed. Here's Pastor Dave.
It's great to be with you. If you have a Bible, would you please turn it open to Hebrews chapter 3? We'll begin our study this morning in verse 7 down to the end, God willing, verse 19. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, the verses that I'm reading from here in God's Word will be on the screen behind me. You can follow along in that way. I'd encourage you to do that so that you're reading and hearing God's Word at the same time. It will have a very powerful effect in your life if you allow it to. I'm going to read these verses collectively here, and we'll stop and go as the Holy Spirit leads. There's a lot of important things for me to point out to you, tenses. That some of these things are written in, and the structure of it in the original language develops it a little bit more here. So try not to get too aggravated as we stop and pause periodically as we move through this here. We'll come full circle by the time that we are done together this morning. Hebrews chapter 3, I'm calling this message this morning, Dead Ear, Hard Heart, Wandering Life. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning our reading in verse 7. The writer says here, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. It's important to catch that the Holy Spirit is saying things. The way that this is constructed, the way that it's written, is in present tense. The Holy Spirit is speaking these things right now, this morning, here at Calvary Chapel at Second Service to His church. The Holy Spirit wants to speak something to you through His Word. Listen, a lot of times we'll hear in the church culture, what do you sense the Spirit of God is saying? You know, what do you think the Spirit of God is showing and speaking to the church? And there's a lot of, you know, thoughts about what it might be. But then we come to God's Word, and it tells us explicitly what the Spirit of God wants to say. It's something that He said thousands of years back, as the psalmist David will be quoted here. It's something that He said a couple of thousand years ago, when the writer to the Hebrews wrote this letter to them, and it's something that He wants to say today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and He wants to speak to individuals. That's the other thing here that you're to catch at the onset of this study, is that the way that this is structured all the way through to the end, the Spirit of God speaking through the writer of this letter here, He's speaking to individuals. Today, if you singularly, you individually, if you'll hear the Spirit of God's voice, this is what He wants to speak. So it's a thing right off the bat that we need to understand, that the Holy Spirit understands that there are going to be people that are sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, all around you, that are disinterested in the voice of God. They are not necessarily here to have an encounter with Jesus. They are not necessarily here to meet with the living Lord. They have other reasons for being here, and that's fine. That's their prerogative. But the Holy Spirit is asking you. He's asking you as an individual. This is not a corporate thing. This is not a group thing. Like, well, I guess as a whole, we're all here to hear the voice of God. This is a thing that you've got to settle at the start of this study, that even if nobody else wants to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, I have come to listen. You understand? I have come to listen. I am ready to take ownership of this offer. If any man hears this word and wants to receive it, let him hear, right? If my husband doesn't want to hear it, that's not me. If my wife doesn't want to hear it, that's not me. If my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, my friend, even my leadership represented sitting next to me in the church this morning, even if they don't want to hear it, Lord, I want to hear your voice. You understand that this morning? That's the way that this is written. Today, it's always today with God. It's never yesterday or tomorrow. It's always the ever-present now. You and I, we're limited to time, so we refer to things as that was the past, that's history, that's tomorrow, that's the future. But God is not that way. He's outside of time. It's always the present. And what's being said here is not a 24-hour time period necessarily, but a time of God's grace being poured out where what's being spoken that was written by the Spirit of God makes sense to you. Today, while that's happening, while dots are being connected, while the voice of God has your attention, today, in that moment, that opportunity, if you would, as you hear the Spirit of God, will you give him your ear and really listen? If you will hear his voice, he says, harden not your hearts. Verse 8, as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. That's a quote, a reference back to Psalm 95. If you look at Psalm 95 in the Hebrew, it literally says, as in the day of Marah and in the day of Meribah, the time where Israel was led out of Egypt. Shortly after their exodus out of Egypt and their wilderness journeying, just a couple weeks out, a few days out, they had already begun to complain against God. They'd already begun to shake their fists at Moses. Have you brought us out in this dry desert land to die of thirst? Is this why we are here? I mean, the Egyptian army still floating in the Red Sea. And yet they're already having the audacity to complain against God at the start of this journey at their leader, saying, is this what you brought us here for? And the idea here, as we read through this, is it's what marked the beginning of their journey, and it's what marked their whole, wandering through the wilderness all to the very end. Just this constant spirit of complaint, this constant spirit of disdain. The writer here is using Israel of old as an illustration of how not to behave. Unlike them, hear the voice of God. Unlike them, don't harden your heart. Their ears became dead, their hearts became hard. Don't do it. It will lead you to a life of wandering. It will lead you to a life that is sort of aimless, purposeless, if you would. Not what God has intended for you. Whoever you are this morning that I'm speaking to that needs this surety given to them, God has wonderful plans for your life. He has not brought you out of the world without an intent to bring you into something more full and wonderful. Specifically and namely this morning, the abundant spirit-filled life. God wants to bless you. God's got plans and purposes for you. He wants to prosper you. And he wants to lead you, as we see as we move into chapter 4 next week. He wants to lead you into a supernatural rest. He wants to bring you into this place of rest that comes from hearing his voice and having a soft heart. If you will not hear his voice and if you will not have a soft heart, you cannot receive the plans and purposes of God. Therefore, you cannot experience his peace and rest and joy that he has for you. Israel of old is an illustration of this. There's a warning here. The duration of the chapters, we'll read through it, is a warning. It's the second of several warnings in the book of Hebrews. The first was in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When we got that word of, be careful lest you drift from the promises of God, from the person of Jesus. We went through that. Now the second warning here, the second whistle that's being blown by the watchman on the wall, if you would, that I'm also blowing this morning is this. Israel of old had a great beginning, but they had a terrible ending, marked by their complaining and murmuring at the start all the way through those 4 decades, 40 years. And they finished that way too. And the most of them did not enter into what God had for them for one reason, unbelief. Don't be like them, where you start good, here's the warning, and you end poorly. In a word here, this message is about continuance. This message is this. Okay, you've come to Christ, but now let's make sure that you continue in Christ all the way home. Do you understand? You've come to Christ. That's wonderful. We're thankful for that. God is thankful for you giving him your heart. But now let's make sure that we do everything that we can to continue in Jesus Christ. We're seeing a lot of people fall away. We're seeing a lot of people walk away. Let's not be a part of that number. Let's stay on the straight and narrow, but always with the mentality of, by the grace of God, there goes I. Always with the mentality of humility. Always less, we think we stand, take heed lest we fall. Just always that approach. Like I'm always, like I'm standing here this morning, my toes are always just sort of hanging over the edge. And it's only by the grace of God and me yielding my heart to him daily that he's going to keep me. Amen? We'll continue to read through this morning. That's all that he's doing here. Don't get lost in the wordiness of this epistle. Don't get lost in, one of the reasons I chose to preach this epistle to you is because of the multiple references to the Old Testament. And that's all that's being done here. He's just quoting from the psalmist right now to further his point. He's using the Bible to be a commentary of the Bible. The best commentary of the Bible is the Bible. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. They go hand in hand. All 66 books written by 4 different authors, 3 different continents, over 1,500 years. They all connect wonderfully. Don't be overwhelmed by the wordiness. The theme all the way through is continuance. I'm going to drive it home as I preach. Continuance, continuance, continuance. You've come to Christ, now continue in Christ. You've come to Christ, now continue in Christ. Guard your heart. Don't let your ear become deadened. Don't start deafening your ear to the word of God. Then your ear becomes deadened as a result. Don't harden your heart. Those actions will lead to wandering. God has called you from the world. He's delivered you. He saved you for something so much greater than wandering aimlessly. Don't be that person that has too much Jesus to enjoy the world, but too much world to enjoy Jesus. It's a miserable life. I've been there experientially. I could speak of it. You've got too much Jesus to enjoy the world, but you've got too much of the world to enjoy Jesus, so you're miserable. You're tormented. Let the Holy Spirit pluck you from that miry pit this morning and set your feet back on a solid rock. Let him deliver you from that. He says, Israel of old, don't be like them in that they harden their hearts. Your fathers, verse 9, they tempted me. Notice this here. God is speaking in the first person. He says, they tempted me. They proved me. And they saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore, God says, I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always, notice this, err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They've erred in their hearts by hardening their hearts. By allowing their hearts to become hardened, they've erred in their hearts. God is greatly concerned with your internal being. God is greatly concerned with having your heart, because if he has your heart, listen to me, beloved, please. If he has your heart, he has all of you. If God has your heart, he has all of you. Your heart is the seedbed to all of your desires. This is not an intellectual thing. It's going to be intellectually, by the grace of God, as far as methodically and clearly and doctrinally preached to you. But this is not an intellectual problem with the Hebrews. This was an emotional thing. This was a heart thing. People are being led away from Jesus to something lesser. He's greater. He's the greatest. Jesus supreme. That's what Hebrews is all about. He's superior to everything. What's happening here is people are walking away from the greatest to the lesser, not for intellectual reasons or purposes, but because of emotion. If Jesus has your heart, he has all of you. If Jesus has your heart, that's the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. And that's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. There's an evilness that started in your heart. And the start of everything was your hardness. You were able to sit in church with a puss on your face, with your arms folded, counting down the minutes when the Spirit of God is trying to speak to you. Be careful. Deaf ears will lead to dead ears, and they'll lead to hard hearts in your life. Will be you meandering aimlessly, purposefully, when God has such a greater destiny for you. Don't be like Israel. A great beginning, a terrible ending. And their deliverance was magnificent, wasn't it? God delivers this nation, 2 to 3 million people. We know that there were 600,000 fighting men. Fighting men are in between the ages of 20 and 50, I believe it is. So then you've got all the men that are younger than 20, older than 50, plus the women, plus the children, easily 2 to 3 million people. The greatest immigration story ever told. God delivers this people supernaturally from the superpower of the day. I'm going to get louder than the rain. Unless the rain's the Holy Spirit just falling on this place. As he leads them out of Egypt, he brings them into the promised land. There were no shortages of manifestations of the miraculous works of God in these people's lives. But listen to me, please. You've been delivered by a greater power. You've been delivered by a greater power, and what you've been delivered from is greater than Egypt physically, geographically. You've been delivered from hell. You've been delivered from Satan, and you've been delivered from death. Jesus Christ has saved you from these things. So he doesn't deserve then for you to start well with him and to finish poorly. He deserves intellectually, then, if we're going to be intellectual about the matter, he deserves all of you. He deserves all of your affection, all of your adoration, all of your praise, because there is none like him. Nobody has ever loved you the way that Jesus loves you. Nobody has ever demonstrated love for you the way that Jesus has by going to your cross and my cross for us in our stead. Don't harden your hearts. Your fathers tempted me. Let them be an example to you of what not to do. I was grieved, God said in verse 10. I was grieved with that generation. Christians today, they want to be grieved by things that are outward. I'm grieved that guy's getting drunk. I'm grieved that guy's Instagram story. I'm grieved that guy's Facebook post. I'm grieved that person's hypocrisy. You know what's something that's, you know, kind of different about the Lord that you're going to see this morning? He doesn't mention any of those things that he's grieved by. He's grieved by his people, quote unquote, people who are supposed to be his people, their unbelief in him. I don't know if many of times we think, I don't want to grieve the heart of God by my unbelief. I think we think it's more the outward, more severe, more black sins, if you would. But the scripture set us straight this morning, and they tell us the singular thing, the only thing, and there's repetition used here for reinforcement, the main thing that's keeping my people from blessing is their unbelief. It grieves me. They've experienced my glory. They've witnessed my power. They can testify of my past working in their lives, but they're unbelievers. They're not mine. The Lord's after some of your hearts this morning, right now. He's after some of your hearts. He says, I was grieved with that generation. They err in their hearts. They've not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath. They shall not enter into my rest. If you're lost at the end of verse 11, the word rest there means the calming of the winds. The calming of the winds. Obviously carrying the idea of a storm that's taking place. The Lord wants to bring us into this. We live in this world. This world is like one big storm, isn't it? There are moments and flashes of sun and blue skies and beauty, but this life, man, is in so many ways like a big storm. So many things that are not supposed to be are. So many things that are not supposed to be are happening all around us, plaguing us, afflicting us. And the Spirit of the Lord would say to you this morning, I want to give you rest in the midst of this. Yes, there's a rest that's coming in the kingdom age when Jesus is reigning and ruling, but there's a rest right now that's a foreshadow. There's a rest right now that's a sneak preview. There's a rest right now that's a coming attraction of what's for you in the future that you can experience right now in Jesus Christ if you'll open your ear and you'll soften your heart. A calming of the storm. A calming of the wind. It will be distracting when this storm ends during the service. Because our roof is metal, the rain is loud. But when the rain subsides and the thunder and lightning goes away by the grace of God, the silence will be deafening. That's how it is in Jesus. A lot of yelling on TBN. A lot of light shows and concerts by these big Christian, you know, churches today. And I love it and it's wonderful. But there is nothing quite like an Elijah-like experience where the stillness of God's gentle, soft voice is being spoken to and you can hear it. take heed. Here's our warning, verse 12. Brethren, setting straight who he's speaking to. I don't know how some people say this is not to Christians. No epistle was written to non-believers. This is written to Christians. The topic, the theme, the warning is continuance. Don't get it twisted. He says this here in verse 12, take heed. It's a present imperative. It's you got to do this. It's not a suggestion. And it's this, I don't say things in vain, God says. I don't say things to fill space, to make the pages more complete, to add ink. This is with reason. This is being said as something you must do. You must guard what I'm about to tell you. You must watch over it right now, today, tomorrow, and always, because it's an issue all around you. You understand? That's what he's saying here. It's what gives me my confidence to preach. It's always an issue. Today, if you'll hear his heart, harden not. If you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. He's speaking. He's saying these things right now. And it's not in vain, and it's not for you to tuck away for the future. I've heard people say that. Pastor, you gave me a word for the future. No, I didn't. I gave you a word in season. I'm preaching to you from the living word of God. It's alive and it's well and it's powerful, more powerful than any two-edged sword. It's speaking to you right now. Take it with you, put it in your pocket and hold on to it. It's for today. If not for you, for somebody else, it's for today. It might be for the future also, but it's for today. God is speaking to his beloved today. He's speaking to you today. He says, take heed, brethren. The devil's favorite word is tomorrow. Man's favorite word is tomorrow. So many times, tomorrow, tomorrow. No, God says today. There is no tomorrow for you to hold on to today. Sufficient is the evil of today. Don't you worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow might not even come, but trust in the one who holds on to your tomorrow should it come today. He says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you that has an evil heart of unbelief. See that there? It's underlined in my Bible. Holy Spirit blessed me with it this morning. That's an evil heart, God says, when you don't believe God. When you hear God's voice, and your heart is so hardened that you can't hear him. He says, in departing from the living God, the word departing in verse 12 is a relationship word. It's letting go of a relationship. Be careful constantly, lest you come to this place of no longer continuing. Your heart is filled with unbelief, and you depart from the living God. You're married to the living God. So much greater than 613 ordinances of old. So much greater than religion. So much greater than a list of do's and don'ts. You are married to the living God. Don't depart from that relationship. You've come into that relationship. Now continue in that relationship. But exhort one another daily while it is called, here it is again, today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.